As we close our gardening season, it's helpful to review our efficiencies and our inefficiencies in 2024 and plan how to optimize our gardens in 2025. And no one is more nerdy about garden optimization than my new friend Kim from Cali Kim, who has kind of dedicated her life and a new book to making us all more efficient gardeners who can, as she likes to say, have a garden and a life.
Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants.
Hello, plant friends. Welcome. If you're new here, my name's Maria. I'm here to help you care for plants and grow joy. And if you're a returning listener, welcome home. What an honor to be part of your planty journey. I have to say, to tell you, you know, I've done hundreds of interviews for this podcast at this point, and this might have been the fastest I've ever implemented advice that the guest has given me. Literally right after I did this interview with Kim, I immediately went into my garden and started implementing one of the things that we talked about. I'm going to let you listen to the podcast to find out what that is. But once you hear what it is, I will link to the reel that will be the example of what we discussed. But Kim has a lot of really great feedback and really great insights. And I have been actively doing what she talks about in my garden and seeing great success. And it's just been a lot more easy and manageable because she's all about making your garden time efficient and manageable so you can actually enjoy your garden and enjoy your life. Now, you might be saying, Maria, you're airing an episode on time-saving garden hacks in December. Like, that's weird. You didn't plan your content calendar well. Actually, no, we're doing this intentionally because as we close out the year, that's when people are normally reflecting on what went well in the garden and setting intentions for the next garden. So I'm planting a seed of efficiency in your mind right now, my sweet plant friend. So as you go a little bit dormant, as you rest a bit, and then as you gear up to start planning for your next year's garden, you have these concepts in mind so that you can hopefully apply them and start executing them in the beginning of your gardening season. And we will talk more about this in this episode. But today's guest is Kim of the very well-known YouTube channel, Cali Kim. She will introduce herself in the interview, but she's wonderful. She's authored many books, including her newest book called The 10-Minute Gardener, which we talk about today, and it is available for pre-order now. So go support her with a pre-order. This was a lovely conversation, so I want to dive right in. So let's do it. Cali, welcome to Growing Joy.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you having me on here, Maria.
I'm so excited to talk to you because you, you know, champion two of my favorite things, being efficient, saving time, but also gardening in a hot climate because I'm a total novice. So I've been pouring through your books and binging your YouTube videos and so excited and honored that you're here today.
Thank you. Well, I'm honored to be here and growing vegetables is just so exciting. So I'm really glad that you're delving into that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. We have some basil outside in Florida. We're doing this interview in November. So this is now the planting season. So I'm just starting to build out the veggie garden. But before we dive into your time-saving hacks in the garden, I want to know, you have such an interesting story. Cali Kim, you're this like enormous garden YouTuber. You've been educating. You're about to publish your third book. Like, how did you become the plant lady you are today?
Funny enough, I never planned on that when I first started gardening. I actually started gardening as a kid. We grew up on 5 acres and had a family of 10 kids, crazy enough.
Oh my goodness.
Back then, yeah, it was nuts. Wow. And of course, out of necessity, my parents had to have a garden just to save money on groceries. So they got us all out there working in the garden. And one of my jobs was to pick beans. We had these long, long, long rows of beans. And that was one of my jobs. And I actually really didn't like gardening as a kid. It just seemed like an endless chore to me. But we grew and we canned and we froze almost everything that we ate. We had vegetables all winter long. And as I became an adult, I thought back to that. And as my husband and I had our own kids, I really wanted our family to experience that. So I decided to go back to my roots and plant a garden. Now, for years, we lived in apartments and condos. I didn't know about container gardening, but we moved into our house. I dug out a corner of my backyard and just dug in. So that was really how I first got my gardening start. And then about a year later, my husband, who's a videographer, was doing a viral video challenge with his friends. And he said, "Kim, what are you doing?" And that day I was actually adding compost to my herbs. So he goes, "Just go out there and talk about it and tell people what you're doing. And I'll just post it on YouTube and we'll see what happens." So that's how our YouTube channel got its start. We came up with the name Cali Kim because we're in Southern California and just feel like that kind of, you know, the vibe of the sunny Southern California, we can grow all year. And it really just connected with our audience. And then when we first started, I wasn't a garden expert, but I just really dug in. I experimented. I didn't, read a ton of books. I just really grabbed seeds and planted it to see what would happen. And then we actually asked our audience back in the beginning, like, "What do you think? What should I do here?" And then we implemented some of their suggestions in the garden and things were successful. And I just kept on going, learned from my mistakes. Our audience grew over time. People asked us for more videos. And then here we are, we're both doing it as a full-time career now. Both my husband and I get to work together. And we're just so blessed to be able to do that and share what we love to do with others so they can enjoy growing some of their own food as well.
And you've overcome a bunch of garden challenges. I mean, the slope that I was watching a video where you kind of talked about the slope in your backyard and how like you literally carved into your backyard. So I feel like if you built a garden in your backyard scenario, most people can. So can you explain what garden zone you're in? What does your garden look like right now? And what were the different seasons of you building it out?
Sure, absolutely. We're in zone 9B, Southern California. And we pretty much, for the most part, have frost-free winters. I don't think we've had a frost maybe for 5 years. So I do feel very blessed to be able to grow some of my food year-round. Now, when we first moved into our house, our house is at the top of a hill. And there's nothing but weeds and a small flat area down below. The stairs were actually falling apart at the time. So I actually hooked a rope to one side of my hill and kind of wound my way down the hill to get down to the bottom of the garden safely. And the first year we moved in, all I wanted for Mother's Day was for the family to get out there. I got my rototiller. We got out there and planted my very first garden in a small corner of our backyard.
On the flat bottom.
On the flat part, right. We do have a pretty good sized flat spot, but most of it is hill. But the funny thing is, about a year later, we actually auditioned to be on a backyard garden makeover show. And we kind of forgot about it. And then 6 months later, they called us up and said, "We want to come out and film in your backyard and actually help you terrace out your backyard." So we had to find 50 of our friends to come film with us on the weekend. And we actually all did the work. They provided the materials and the design. And then us and our friends just dug in. I drove a backhoe into our backyard. We actually got to dig into the side of the hill, build terraces, which really gave us a lot more extra yardage, which was the name of the show. And that's pretty much how we're able to get the terraces in the hill, which really created a whole new vegetable garden space for us. So it was really a lot of fun.
So how many terraces do you have? And like, is each terrace themed? Like, this is my vegetable terrace and this is my flower terrace. Like, what does it look like?
That's a good question. I'm thinking we have about 4 terraces on one side and kind of a meandering path that goes up that hill. And then on the other side of the garden, I have kind of a flat, larger raised bed with some herbs. And really, that's my pollinator garden area. But the hill garden is really just where I plant a variety of my vegetables. I have tomato string trellises there. I always try and grow vertically because even though our backyard is fairly large for Southern California, I still want to maximize all the space I possibly can. And then at the bottom, we have several raised beds. I also wrote a book on raised bed gardening. So we build a lot of those raised beds to create videos on for my book so our followers and our gardener friends can learn how to grow in raised beds, fill the raised beds, plant in the raised beds, build trellises for raised beds, pretty much anything you want to know about raised beds, we've done a video on, and it's really fun to grow in those, you know, all kinds of vegetables year round.
Yeah. In Florida, I think raised bed gardening is going to be my only option. My soil is so sandy. It doesn't even look brown. Like, it's sand. It's crazy how different the soil is across the country.
I've heard my sister actually lived in Florida for a while, and she said there were all kinds of root nematodes and all kinds of things going on in Florida, that raised beds were really the best option for our Florida garden friends.
Yeah. I'm also renting, but like, even if I'm owning, I think raised beds are the way to go. There's so much to overcome if you have to try and do it in ground. But also, I like my back, and raised beds are very friendly for it. It's much easier to garden in a raised bed.
Much easier and much less time consuming.
So you've written books. How have you learned and become the expert? Like, did you take courses? Are you a master gardener? Like, how did you learn all of this? Or has it all been intuitive?
You know, it's really pretty much been intuitive. I'm not a master gardener. I haven't taken courses. I really learned as a child, but then just dug in and did it. And that's one thing I always encourage people to do who are just starting out, who might be a little bit intimidated. Just dig in. I mean, literally dig in and start with a few vegetables, which is really what I started with, pretty much just herbs. And then kind of get your feet wet a little bit with that. See what you like. See what you don't like. See what method you like or don't like. And then adjust things to your, you know, your situation, your growing conditions. And then what I've seen happen over and over again, and what also happened with me, is starting simple and expanding later, which is actually part of the theme in my first book, Organic Gardening for Everyone. Before you know it, you get your first success, your first harvest, and you really do get hooked. And that's what happened to me.
Totally.
You taste the freshness of the vegetables and you feel so good. I felt so good just going out right out to my backyard. What am I going to pick for dinner? And I grabbed it and picked it. And then I just started growing more and more and dug in and learned and read up a lot. And before I knew it, I really did learn just by intuition and just by doing it and experimenting and learning from my mistakes.
Yeah, it's so amazing. And you know, I come from the houseplant side of this. So I had houseplants for multiple years before I started outdoor growing, because I used to live in 500 square feet in New York City. I had like a little balcony, but even just growing herbs, like, it is such a difference when you can go and add your fresh grown herbs into what you cook during the day or into a cocktail or a mocktail. And then that success, like, it's herbs are the easier things to grow. So then once you have that success, then you go to the tomatoes and you're like, okay, now I'm like, how do I grow sweet potatoes? Everyone in Florida is growing sweet potatoes. My husband eats so many sweet potatoes, you know? So then also like picking what you like to eat and then trying to grow that and figuring that out instead of like growing what people tell you to. But like, if you don't like eggplants, don't try and grow eggplants, you know, like that also, I feel like just you figure out over the years.
Absolutely. Growing what you like to eat, what your family likes to eat, is really key to digging in and enjoying it. Mm-hmm. Because that way you're going to have that those fresh vegetables that you eat on a daily basis. You could just run out and pick, and you can get your kids involved with you. And before you know it, you're going to be expanding your garden according to the space that you have. And you really don't have to have a lot of space. I think just on my deck, which I have a little small container garden out there, in about a 10 by maybe 7 foot space, I have almost 20 fruits, vegetables, and herbs just in that small space and in smart pots and fabric containers. So it really, you don't have to have a big backyard.
Totally. Start with one container. That's what I did. And then
absolutely,
get all the crazy containers.
Right.
A lot of your content on YouTube is like, lessons in the garden I wish I knew earlier. You know, like, you're all about efficiency and time saving. You have a book coming out that's on how to be the most efficient gardener as possible. Why is that so? Why is efficiency so important to you?
Well, I've been gardening for a lot of years, and it just seems like our lives just keep getting busier and busier. I mean, you know, you have kids, you're taking them to sports. We run a business full time. Plus, we got to get the gardening work done, the housework done, the grocery shopping done. And I know for me, like, sometimes it feels very, very overwhelming. So I need to find the most time efficient ways I possibly can to do things so that I can fit gardening into my busy schedule. And I think that's resonated with a lot of our viewers and our gardening friends, is that the time-saving tips are really what helped me feel not quite so intimidated about digging into gardening, and helps people feel like they actually can have a garden in an efficient way in spite of a really busy schedule. So it's always been a priority of mine. Our YouTube channel, really the theme around it, is growing vegetables, quick, simple, and expensive. And if people can really get excited about that, then they can feel like, hey, I can do it. I can have a garden. It doesn't have to take a lot of time, be really overwhelming or difficult or cost a lot of money. And they jump in. And really, our goal is to get as many people growing vegetables all over the world as we possibly can. And we've really seen it resonate and work with people. So that theme carries throughout our channel, my books, and even my own life. So it's really kind of, my new book is really just a compilation of a lot of those tips I've just learned from experience over the years I've been gardening.
So
I recently moved, and when I tell you, home did not feel like home until I hung my Wind River Corinthian Bells 50-inch wind chime. My Wind River wind chimes have really underscored my life for the last couple of years, plant friends, and they have brought me so much joy and peace I can't even explain to you. Whenever I hear them singing throughout the day, I'm reminded to come into the present and take a deep breath. It is so relaxing. It is such a mindful reminder, and it is also the most delightful accompaniment to all of my garden time. As we enter this gifting season, Wind River wind chimes make incredible gifts. You can engrave the wind sail on the wind chime with meaningful dates, names, or phrases. I recently got Mama Fiella one for her new backyard reno, and I know she's going to love it because she has been asking for a Wind River wind chime of her own ever since she visited my house and became enamored with the sounds. So gift yourself or your loved ones ongoing moments of peace with Wind River wind chimes. Use the code GROWINGJOY at checkout to get a free engraving on any engravable wind chime. So it's done for you and it's free. Head to windriverchimes.com to listen to all of your different melodious options. The chime underscoring this ad is the one I have. It's the Corinthian Bells 50-inch wind chime. And use code GROWINGJOY at windriverchimes.com for a free engraving to add a special element to your gift. That's code GROWINGJOY at windriverchimes.com. If you are wanting to bring more biodiversity into your garden next year or this year, have you considered or heard of the concept of new naturalism? There's a book on it by Kelly Norris, who now has just come out with a new book. It's a handbook all about how to build and maintain natural gardens. And the book is called Your Natural Garden by Kelly Norris. So caring for a naturalistic garden is vastly different than caring for a traditional home landscape that is, you know, the usual manicured plants separated by mulch. And regularly like primping and pruning and getting in there and like messing with stuff, because a natural garden celebrates biodiversity and wildlife, letting nature and seasons do their thing. Naturalistic gardening is all about using garden care methods that mimic nature instead of controlling it. And Kelly's book, Your Natural Garden, walks you through all the seasons of a naturalistic garden's life and how to live a naturalistic garden lifestyle with all of the tasks and to-dos that you would need to do in each season to achieve that gorgeous naturalistic garden look. The book has advice, tutorials, and gorgeous photographs of well-established, well-tended naturalistic plantings that will inspire you and show you how to achieve it yourself. So grab yourself a copy if you are interested and get inspired and take action. The book is called Your Natural Garden by Kelly Norris. It's available wherever books are sold. Once again, it's called Your Natural Garden by Kelly Norris. Yeah, I mean, I was so tickled when I was reading your most recent book, and you have a whole chapter on 3-minute tasks you can do in your garden. And it's something that I've been thinking about because I'm kind of a messy person. I'm not dirty, but I'm messy. Like, I don't put my clothes away at night, you know? And my husband and I have really been talking about like setting that 3-minute timer to like do a cleanup at the end of the night. And because if you do 3 minutes every day or 5 minutes every day, then on the weekend, you don't have 4 hours of cleaning. Like, and this is just non-garden related. But with your book, I was like, yeah, how many of us in the gardening season have like completely neglected our garden for 5 days and then gone out, so many weeds, so many things to do, dirty tools, like so overwhelming. And then you kind of freeze. And then if you don't tackle it, then it just like gets worse and worse. So this idea of like giving your garden 3 minutes a day, 5 minutes a day to ensure a healthier, more productive garden just like makes a lot of sense to me.
What I found, and I can totally relate to your story. We actually just got back from a 2-week vacation, and going out in the garden, said to my husband, oh my goodness, I have so much to do. And then I go, nope, you know what? I'm going to take some of my own advice. We're just going to chip away at it a little bit at a time. And then by Saturday, I have a lot accomplished. So I think that's really the philosophy of my new book, The 10-Minute Gardener, is when you chip away at it and really develop routines into your life, pretty soon, you know, the muscle memory kicks in. It really starts to go on autopilot. If you incorporate some of those small but simple routines into your daily life, then it just makes it seem a lot less overwhelming. And a garden burnout is a very real issue for a lot of our gardening friends. And it really does help just having those little routines built into your day to avoid burnout. You just enjoy gardening and just enjoy getting outside that much more into your vegetable garden.
Yeah, totally. So I would love to mine you for some of your tips, you know, the things that you wished that you started doing earlier. In your book is broken up into 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and 30 minutes, right?
Correct. Yes. Not a 15 minute, but 3, 5, 8, and 30. Yes.
8 minutes, right. So what I was thinking is maybe we could go through a couple of tasks that people might not necessarily think that they could do in 3 minutes and kind of build our way. So at the end of this episode, everyone is going to figure out how much time they have in their garden today, whether
That's
it's
right.
3, 5, or 8 minutes, and go and do something. So let's start with 3, because I truly was so tickled at 3 minutes. What are you doing in 3 minutes? And you have a lot of things that you have timed that you can do in 3 minutes. So
are
some, you know, efficient gardening chores that you can do in the amount of time that it takes? I mean, what do you do in 3 minutes? I don't even know.
Well, the key is to integrate it into your daily life. So 3 minute tips really should be, or 3 minute tasks really should be very simple things. You're not going to build a raised bed. You're not going to fill your raised bed with soil, your containers with soil or anything like that. But you're going to pick very simple maintenance tasks. And you might have to break it down into several 3 minute sessions to finish that task. But the key is you're out there doing it. And you can open up the book and go, okay, I want to do that. For example, one of my favorite ones, and I like to kind of develop acronyms or ways to remember how you're supposed to do something. And one of my favorite ones I like to call Fertilizer Fridays. So on Friday, it's just an easy thing to remember, Fertilizer Fridays. You could do this while your tea kettle is boiling, while you're just sipping your coffee. I like to kind of focus like one 3 minute session, you know, a couple times a day or a couple on Fridays to fertilizing my indoor plants. I mean, you've got house plants, and I'm sure it could be an overwhelming task, but maybe on Fridays, you can take 3 minutes several times throughout the day and go, okay, I've got a break here. I can go over, I can give my plants some liquid fertilizer, I can water them, I can make sure they're well cared for. And then you've got to get back to your regular day's task, but maybe have a break a little bit later on. I can go pick off some of those little brown leaves, I can fertilize another section of my house plants, or maybe I can dash outside and fertilize just one part of my container garden. So it's really breaking down a larger task into smaller, more manageable tasks, so that by the end of the day, you can feel like, wow, I really accomplished something today. Otherwise, I'd just be sitting in my chair for 3 minutes, not doing anything. So I might as well get up for 3 minutes and make Fertilizer Fridays happen. And your plants are going to be happy and healthy and either reward you with herbs and veggies that you might be growing inside, or you'll get to enjoy your house plants because they'll be a lot greener and happier at the end of, if you're consistent with it.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's almost reframing as like taking a mindfulness break, like for 3 minutes. Like if the idea is doing multiple 3 minutes in one day, allowing for every couple of hours, set an alarm, take a 3 minute break. No one is going to get mad at you at work for leaving for 3 minutes. Like if you work from home, go do something, come back. What are some other 3 minute tasks?
Well, you know, I broke the book down into different tasks you can do different seasons rather than by months. So for example, a 3 minute Fertilizer Fridays for your indoor seedlings could be in the early season. So this way it just helps people no matter where you live, because you're in Florida, but some people are in, you know, North Carolina, where the early season might be different for them than it is for you. Like we don't really have a huge dormant season, but most people now in November, in you know, cold winter climates are going into the dormant season. So it's broken down into early season, mid season, late season, and dormant season. So no matter where you live, you can grab the book, you have a few minutes, and you can pick a task that will fit the season that your garden is currently in. So that being said, another thing to do in like, say the mid season, when your garden is already in full swing, you've got a lot of things growing, you can easily do this in 3 minutes. I like to call it swift seed sowing. So you think, oh my gosh, going out and planting seeds is going to take me a lot of time, but it doesn't have to. You can keep a little, I like to keep a little bucket or a little basket of seeds just right by my back door, even keep some in my pocket. Like what do I want to plant today? Throw a few pea seeds in my pocket, which is what I'm planting right now, and go outside. I've got my 3 minute break here. I'm going to run outside and pop some pea seeds along my trellis that's right outside on my patio. Got my cup of coffee. Maybe I have my breakfast out there with me. Maybe I'm walking to the trash can, which goes right by my containers, and I can pop some lettuce seeds in one of my containers that might be empty. So it's just really incorporating that and changing your mindset and keeping things handy and accessible so you can quickly grab them and do something for 3 minutes that you can feel good about.
I love that habit stack you talked about with the trash can. Is like, okay, well, when you go take out the trash, go pull some weeds by the plants near the trash, or go plant some seeds by your plants near, you know, like, and exactly. Whether it's trash or whether it's whatever your house looks like. But I like that habit stack thought as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good to kind of get things set up so that you're setting yourself up for success. So you don't have to, I got to go dig through my seed stash, but you're just kind of setting up habits in your life. For example, keeping your basket of seeds by the back door, keeping them handy, keeping your pruners even, you know, accessible around your garden. If you came to my garden today, I have pruners stashed everywhere, like in my hanging baskets, in my pots, over on my potting bench. So I never am having to, oh my gosh, where's my pruners? I probably have about 10 different pairs. But that way, if I have 5 minutes, I can quickly grab it and trim some of my plants that need to be trimmed.
Yeah, then they become garden accessories, right? Like they're part of the decor.
Exactly.
Any other 3-minute tips you want to share?
One that I think is really important, because a lot of us now are coming into the dormant season. A lot of people say, okay, there's nothing I can do in the garden when the garden is dormant. But that's actually a very important time in the garden, not only to give ourselves a little bit of break. We still have a lot growing, but a lot of people don't. But to give the garden a rest. But that's the time where you can be planning for spring. So, and also just checking out all your garden tools that might need a little bit of attention. So the 3-minute tool tidy is what I like to call it. Perfect case in point, my pruners stuck all around my garden bed. They may be getting a little bit rusty. They may need a little bit of oiling. So grab your tools, you know, stash them maybe in a 5-gallon bucket. And then again, when you've got 3 minutes, dash out there, have your supplies handy, maybe your steel wool to clean up your tools, some oil to oil your pruners. And at least you can get maybe 3 or 5 tools all taken care of and tidied up before your 3-minute timer goes off. And that is important. I know you mentioned earlier, setting a timer. I think that's super important because we have to give ourselves permission. We don't have to finish the whole entire task right now. I've got 3 minutes. Let's make it work. And at least I can accomplish something again that I can feel good about and feel like I am being a successful gardener and accomplishing something in my day.
Yeah. And if you don't finish something that you thought you'd be able to finish in 3 minutes, you'd probably be able to finish it in another 3 minutes that you could do in succession or later that day, because you can probably find 3 minutes later that day as well. I love the like putting the garden to bed, cleaning the tools, putting it away. It's like such a beautiful ritual. And I find it very reflective as well as you're cleaning up your pruners, like reflecting on the garden, but also reflecting on that season for yourself, which I don't know. I find that kind of garden put away very sacred. And frankly, now that I'm in Florida, I kind of miss it because it would be totally dormant season, you know, moving into the dormancy in New York, where I used to live. But yeah, so beautiful. So now we're graduating to 5 minutes, right?
Yep, we're moving up to 5 minutes. And my book calls us mini but mighty in 5. So we're just adding a couple more minutes to our daily routine. And again, the 3 and the 5 minute section really are reserved for maintenance tasks. So things that you really just want to incorporate into your garden routine so that things don't get out of hand. And before you know it, your garden is super unruly and it just takes way too much time to get back in the swing of things. So one thing I like to do in the early season for a 5-minute routine, I like to call it tie up Tuesday and Thursday. So again, kind of, going off of the fertilizer Fridays, incorporate things that are going to help you remember what to do when. So tie up Tuesday and Thursday is super simple. It's basically like tying up those plants that need trellising. And again, I mentioned,
oh my God, I love this idea.
I use a lot of trellises. Yeah, it's really fun. So my cucumber plants, I've got them right outside my patio. I have a little arch trellis on them. But you know, if I'm not tying them up on a regular basis, they just sprawl all over the place. Mm-hmm. They get out of control. And I just am not growing as many cucumbers. The bugs might come and get them. The rats might come and eat them, whatever happens. So I like to keep little either twine or that stretchy tie tape is one of my favorite things because you don't need scissors for that. Whenever I'm out in the garden or whenever I walk outside, I always put that in my pocket because that way, again, I'm walking to my trash can or I'm going downstairs to the lower garden. Oh, I see a cucumber. I can just quickly trellis it up, tie it up, snap off that stretchy tie tape, and we're good to go. And I can walk through the garden and do that. In fact, I always love to do that when we're sitting outside for lunch. I kind of have my lunch here and then I'm tying up as I'm eating. And it just makes it fun and a nice outdoor break. But it helps you remember, which is really key, before your garden gets out of hand.
Yeah, because I love this idea of you having 5 minutes a day you're committing to. And then just based on whatever day it is, that's what you do. So if it's a Tuesday, you tie. If it's a Friday, you fertilize. Do you have a Monday and a Wednesday theme too?
not in the book, but we've talked about a lot in our live streams. Actually, our viewers kind of helped us come up with some of them. Watering Wednesdays is another one that's good to remember. Maybe you can water your container plants on Wednesdays. The Fertilizer Fridays. I do have another one, Seed Starting Saturdays and Sundays, which is later in the book. I believe that's in the 10-minute chapter. So that way, like in the early season, when that's a lot to do when you're starting everything from seed like I do and like a lot of our viewers do, teach people how to do that. But it can be overwhelming. So stick to one type of vegetable. Maybe you're starting all your tomatoes and peppers. So Seed Starting Saturdays and Sundays, you take 10 minutes on Saturday, 10 minutes on Sunday, and you've got a whole bunch of tomatoes and peppers started in 10 minutes. So it just, again, kind of creates that muscle memory, putting on autopilot. And before you know it, you have over a couple of weeks' time, you have a whole bunch of seeds started, but not too much at once, because I don't know if you've ever started from seed, but if you get too much going, you get overwhelmed under your grow lights and it's way too much to plant outside. So you're giving yourself permission to space things out and not doing everything at once. And it's also really good for our mental health too, because I tend to want to get everything done, start a project, have to finish it. And my husband's always reminding me, you don't have to finish it all, you know. And so I'm taking my own advice from this as well.
Espoma Organic makes gardening easy and efficient by providing high quality indoor and outdoor plant products that are safe for people, pets, and the planet. And that just work. They make it simple because they're products that work. You plant it up, you fertilize, and then you don't really have to worry about it. So keep a bag of potting mix, compost, and their incredible line of fertilizers readily available so that you can take these 5-10 minute spurts that we're talking about in the episode to do a quick top dress or a quick repot or a quick fertilization of your plants, like Fertilizing Fridays. The thing I love about Espoma Organic products is many of their bagged potting mixes and fertilizers have that resealable packaging. So it makes it super easy to store. So literally 2 hours ago today, I did a quick repotting of a houseplant that was wildly in need of a repot. And I was able to do it in probably about 7 minutes because I keep a bag of soil that's just zipped closed on my porch where the plant is. I was able to whip it out, repot it, zip it back up, put the bag back. Like, it was low stress because everything was just kind of readily available and easy to access. Espoma also makes fertilizing your houseplants so easy with their liquid indoor fertilizer. So all you do, if you choose to participate in Fertilizing Friday that we discussed today, all you do is literally take a cap of the liquid fertilizer in the bottle and put it into your watering can. No like weird mixing or measuring or anything crazy required. You literally just dump it in the cap, pour it in your water, water your plants as normal. And all of their outdoor fertilizers, they have a tone of fertilizer for every plant you could possibly be gardening. They all have those resealable bags and they're all super easy to use. So whether you're gardening indoors or outdoors, Espoma Organic has the high quality potting media, fertilizers, and amendments to make gardening simple by setting your plants up for success and then simply enjoying the bounty. If you're interested in learning more about all of the amazing products that they have, you can go to espoma.com to find your local dealer, or you can visit the link in the show notes to go to my Amazon storefront with a curated list of my favorite Espoma products. This episode of Growing Joy with Plants is brought to you by Manucora Honey, also known as Honey with Superpowers, also known as my new hyperfixation, if you've been listening to this podcast for the last couple of months. I use it almost every morning to make my coffee so delicious. Manucora Honey is single origin, rich, creamy. It's so delicious. It almost tastes like caramel. Plus, it has 3 times more antioxidants and prebiotics than that average honey or honey bear. Now, I love the jar and squeeze bottle. That's what I use every day. But I also love that they make these compostable honey sticks that are perfect for traveling. So if you're leaving for the weekend, you can still bring your honey and have delicious honey in your coffee on the go or however you choose to eat it. Try it for yourself, plant friends, and you'll get $25 off their starter kit since you're a listener of the podcast. So all you have to do is go to manucora.com/bloom. Manucora is spelled manucora.com/bloom, and you'll get $25 off your starter kit. I like to add it to my coffee in the morning. Coffee, Manucora honey, milk will literally taste like a dupe for that brown sugar shaken oat milk drink that we all know and love. And lately, I've also been known to take that squeeze bottle and just squeeze a little bit of it on a piece of cheese for a snack. Anyway, go try it for yourself. Manucora, manucora.com/bloom to get $25 off your starter. I love this idea. I love it for so many reasons, but it really takes the guesswork out of it. And yes, you're so right. And also it's like, you can't, if you just stick to Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, watering Wednesdays, and watering Wednesdays, maybe sometimes you need to water your plants on Wednesdays. Maybe sometimes you don't, right? Like depending on
exactly
the weather and whatever, but at least you've had that. You can't get, if you're checking your plants every week, every Wednesday, you're not going to like drastically underwater something, you know, or at least indoors, depending on where you live, that could change. But that's so helpful. I love that. What else you got for me?
Let's see. Let me think about, okay, so here's a really good one for a quick 5-minute tip. Now, you live in Florida, and so it gets very hot there, as it does here in Southern California. I use a lot of shade cloth in my garden outside to help protect the plants from the heat. So one of my 5-minute tips is to create a shade cloth oasis. Now, the key to a lot of my tips is keeping your supplies handy. So what I do, so when it's going to be 95 degrees the next day, this is a mid-season tip. You know, I have my shade cloth accessible. I keep it all in bins in my my garden shed. And as the summer progresses and I'm covering and uncovering, that can take a lot of time. So what I like to do is just leave it clipped to some of my trellises and my garden beds. So when it's 95 degrees, I've got 5 minutes. I can quickly dash out, cover my plants so they're not going to get fried in the hot sun. And it just takes 5 minutes to do that. You know, I have a quite a large garden, but if you have a small garden, it's easy to, you know, set it up so that where you can cover it in 5 minutes and be good to go. But the key is keeping your shade cloth organized, accessible, having a plan. So you're avoiding that last minute scramble and it's taking you 2 hours to go buy a shade cloth to cover your plants, but you're leaving it clipped to your trellises. So you can quickly and easily just throw it over and create a quick shade cloth oasis for your plants. And it really does work. And you'll be able to harvest a lot more vegetables if you just implement that one simple routine into your mid-season garden.
It's conversely, because I want to be sensitive now that I moved to Florida, that I'm not like only speaking to warm weather gardens too, but it's conversely, if you live somewhere that gets these cold snaps, like having your, what's the material that you put over your plants?
You could do frost blankets or just plastic, heavy duty plastic.
Yeah, like having your frost blankets available or, you know, having those readily available too, but making it very simple is really helpful.
Absolutely. Actually, I do have a winter cover tip as well. And I can't remember if that's in the 5 or 8 minute chapter, but it is in there. So things like having your plastic covers kind of cut to your garden beds, having even just big, huge plastic bins, you know, that you'd buy at Target, really simple things. You might have your Christmas ornaments stored in them or whatever. Just having those available to cover your plants on nights where you might get a frost and your plants are going to get damaged. So yeah, there's definitely that in there too for all kinds of gardeners, wherever you're gardening.
Totally, totally. For our northern gardeners, any end of season, and I love in your book how you break it down early, mid, late, dormant season so that it does apply to anyone. Any dormant 5 minute as people are going into dormancy, I guess, cleaning those tools.
As people are going into dormancy, yes, I do have one called a quick garden cleanup or maybe a snappy garden cleanup in there. So at this time of the year, you know, a lot of people are pulling out their plants. You know, they're seeing their dead tomatoes and their dead cucumbers, and that can get overwhelming too, just cleaning up the garden. So, you know, again, just getting out there, getting your tools handy, your pruners, your big trash bins and things like that. And then just, again, it might take a couple of 8 minute sessions, but you get out there on your garden break or even on the evenings or the weekends and pull out your plants and have your trash bin nearby so you're not throwing all your garden waste on the ground and then having to pick it up again and put it in your trash can or your garden pop-up bin. I always have one handy and nearby. And my pruner's like in my pocket and my little, you know, belt around my waist and everything. So having those items accessible so you can quickly dash out, get the family involved. And if you have 3 people out there, maybe you have a partner and a child out there helping you. You've got 3 people working at it for 10 minutes. That's 30 minutes. I mean, you get a lot accomplished.
Yeah, that's 30 minutes worth of work. Totally. I love that. That's a time-saving hack. Have 2 people help you. Make it a party. Make it a party.
Absolutely. We've got some dash and dine harvest little parties in there too. A weeding extravaganza where you can pull in your kids and make a game out of it. Like everybody grab a basket, see how many weeds you can pick. This is your section. That raised bed is the other child's section. Have a couple friends over and then do a dash and dine harvest where everyone has 5 minutes. Get out to the garden. I like to call it the garden grocery store. This is your aisle. You get the greens aisle. You get the herbs aisle and grab what you can to harvest and grill up for dinner.
Oh my God, I love that. That's so fun. This is your grocery aisle. It's, and it's by all of your different terraces. I love that.
Definitely. You know, one thing that I do like to emphasize in the dormant season, and this is a time where you can actually set a timer for this for 10 minutes, this is in the 10 minute chapter, is do just quick garden research. Again, the dormant season is a great time to be thinking and dreaming about what you want to do for your spring garden. So maybe you had some things that didn't go so well this year. Maybe you had some things that went really well. Maybe you have new vegetables that you want to grow for next year. So it's a great time to do some online research, maybe look through the online seed catalogs, pick out a few things that you'd like to grow, and even just map out your garden. I have a tip in there called your garden jotting journal, where you can jot down in your journal either what worked for you, what didn't work for you for 5 minutes a day. And during the dormant season, it's a great time to set your timer for 10 minutes, think a little bit more about that, and then jot down some ideas and plans that you'd like to do for next year. You've got your computer handy, got your garden journal handy, and you've got a quick garden research session. So when you get to the spring where it gets really busy, the early season, you kind of avoid the spring scramble, as I like to call it, where you're just going crazy. You're feeling overwhelmed. You're already feeling burned out. And the season hasn't even started. You've got your notes from your dormant season that you've done in your 10-minute garden research tip, and you are ready to roll with a plan.
It's so interesting too, because you don't remember. Like if you don't write it down, there's so many things that I wish I had written down in the moment, if I had taken 3, 5, 10 minutes. A couple of years ago, I gardened with this elder in my community. She was an unbelievable gardener. She taught me so much. And there were just these little things that she would share about how like she would plant carrots and radishes together because the radishes sprouted earlier. And then that's where you would know where the carrot seeds are, like little things like that. But there's so many of those things that I didn't write down and that I don't remember anymore. And I just regret it. She's since passed on. And I regret not taking the 3 minutes in my car after I was with her to do that, or even at the end of the summer to be like, okay, this is all I remember, because obviously it's fresher in your mind then. So I love that.
Yeah, and it's really simple to do that. I know a lot of people tend to make it a little more complicated, like, oh, I just don't have time. But what I recommend in my book is just write down three things: what I did in the garden today, what went well, and what do I want to improve on? So you keep it just once, like three sentences, that's all it takes. And that way you have a running list and you can look back during your longer, you know, time that you have during the dormant season when you're not out in the garden and kind of compile those ideas into a plan for next season.
Yeah.
Totally. So it really works well. And you know what? I'm not a big writer downer. I do a lot on my computer. That phone app on my phone, the notes app, is a lifesaver. I use that when I'm out in the garden. Here's what I fertilized today. So I look back and track it. It's always with me. I always have it. So just do what works for you. Use apps. If you like to write, by all means write, but just find something that works for you and then incorporate it into your daily routines.
If the world only knew what my notes app looked like. I have so many notes. But that's also what I was thinking, because I think some people think like, oh, I need to get the garden planner and I need it to be this person's garden planner. I need it to be, you know, even if it's just like a spiral bound notebook or something, but like your notes app is amazing. Like you could do all, I feel like a lot of what you preach is like simplify, just keep it simple and easy and accessible, and you'll do it more than if you like make it super hard and confusing, even though we love all the garden planners. I love all the garden planners, yeah, and some people might enjoy it.
But that's just the thing, is take what you love and don't feel pressured. I have to do it like everybody else. We're all different. We all have our preferences and what we like to do. That's perfectly okay. And just make it your own. Pick and choose the things that you like. You could pick up this book and go, I don't have 30 minutes. I don't have 10 minutes. I have 5. Well, there's 10 or 15 tips in that 5-minute chapter that you can go, I'm going to do this one today. I don't have like a lot of herbs, but I have a few things I can harvest or a few things I can tie up. So that's the beauty of it, is you don't even have to read the whole book. Of course, I would love for you to read the whole book, but you can read it as you have the time and as it, you know, pertains to what you've got going in the garden.
And as you develop the habit, because I do think this is a habit of once it's on autopilot that you're like, okay, now I can grab a couple minutes in the garden. Do I have 5 minutes? Do I have 8 minutes? Do I have 10 minutes? Let me go see what's available to me and get inspired. Because the way you break it down, it's sometimes it's like you wouldn't necessarily think about it that way.
Right.
What about 15 minutes? So now 15 minutes feels like such a luxury. Some people would be like, 15 minutes? I can't get anything done in my garden in 15 minutes. And we're like, 15 minutes? Like you could do your whole book in 15 minutes. So what would you recommend for that?
Yeah, you could do a lot. You know, I actually have an 8-minute and a 10-minute section and then a 30-minute section But I want to say just a little bit about the 8 and 10, and we get into 30 in a moment too. But the 8 and the 10, really, you can get multiple step projects done in several 8 or 10 minute sessions. So I mentioned the 3 minute and the 5 minute are really mainly focusing on general maintenance tasks for your garden to keep it maintained and healthy and thriving. But the 8 and 10 minutes, for example, one of my favorite 8 minutes tips is making or planting a summer salad station. So it might take you a couple of sessions. And what a summer salad station is it's just a container that you keep in one particular section of your deck, patio, or garden, wherever you want to put it. And you're planting your salad greens in it so that you can quickly go out and harvest a full-on salad from that one container. So it's worked really well for me. It really, I don't have a lot of time to cook dinner. I can run out, grab some greens. I try and plant some kind of salad topping in that container as well, like a cucumber or a small tomato or something like that, maybe a few herbs. But basically, you can plant this over several different 8 or 10 minute sessions, maybe throughout a couple of day period or throughout a week. If you're adding up 10 minutes once a day, that's almost an hour by the end of the week that you can have to plant your whole entire summer salad station. And before you know it, in about 6 or 8 weeks, you're going to have beautiful fresh greens growing. So you could also use the same principle of multiple steps into maybe filling some containers with soil. Set up a whole, I have a tip on this, a whole container garden kind of assembly station. You've got your soil, you've got your containers, and you can kind of batch fill your containers so that you've got them all filled. When you're ready to plant your salad station, you'll be ready to go.
That is so inspiring to me because I will tell you, I'm looking out my window right now. I have my incredible Crescent Gardens True Drop planters. They're self-watering planters. I'm so excited.
I have one of those too. Yeah.
I'm so excited to use them because in Florida, obviously, like there's no way I'm going to stand top of the watering. They have been sitting outside my house. I'll give myself a little grace because I just moved, but like, and I moved 1500 miles and I don't know what I'm doing in Florida. So I'll give myself a little bit of grace, but these Crescent Garden planters have been sitting outside on my entry. I have this beautiful little entry area, like a little entry patio. I've got this whole idea and they have been sitting empty for 6 weeks now. And then I, at one point, got the soil and I put the bags of soil in the containers, but I haven't emptied the soil. So now I'm thinking, okay, well, why don't I just take 10 minutes and I'll do the soil? Like I'll do my Espoma potting mix. I'll do the biotone. I'll amend it. I'll set the soil up. And then I feel like that'll be the end of it for today. But then tomorrow, maybe I start seeding, and then obviously going to the garden center and getting herbs is going to take more time, but that could be like a weekend thing. But I feel like once I get the soil in the containers, it's going to motivate me so much more.
Absolutely.
And yeah, you're inspiring me. I'm like, I've just got to break this down into 8 or 10 minute tasks and then execute.
Absolutely. And you can even fill that planter with water as you fill it. It's like self-watering. So you put your soil in, it's going to absorb the water. So you don't even need to spend all that work, like pre-moistening your soil and all that kind of thing. You just come back to it tomorrow and then...
And it's ready to go.
You can run out to the garden center, grab some herbs, and you'll have it planted by Sunday.
All right, listener, plant friends, I am committing to doing this. By the time this episode airs, I will have a beautiful, thriving herb garden and salad, because it's the salad garden too. It's salad and herbs that I'm putting in my big planter. So
I'm going to hold you to that.
It's happening. It's happening.
Great.
What else? Did you say you had a couple of other 8 and 10 ones you wanted to share?
Oh, yes. I was going to actually share, this kind of goes along with that, is when you come into the spring season, this comes into the early season timeframe, we all get overwhelmed at the thought of getting our garden beds prepped to then move our transplants outside. A lot of our garden friends do. What I like to do is call the hustle and bustle garden bed prep. And again, it might take several 10-minute sessions, but this is where you're getting your garden beds prepped and ready over a longer period of time. So maybe, you know, the spring thaw has hit for us northern garden friends. For southern gardeners, you could probably do this just about any time in the winter. But you're pulling out those plants, which you've already done. So some of my tips kind of build on each other. You pull out your plants, which you did when you went out there and hustled and bustled and did your quick garden cleanup. Now it's time to hustle and bustle and prep your garden beds. So you're taking a couple 10-minute sessions to maybe add some new amendments to the soil that you already have in your raised beds, adding in some compost, worm castings. You got that done maybe in one 10-minute session. The next one, maybe need to add some water and moisten it down. you could do that while you're drinking your coffee in the morning or where you're walking around with your glass of wine in the evening, right? Mm-hmm. And be watering and, you know, just enjoying yourself out there. And then you've got your transplants ready, which you've been working on with other tips in my book. I'm ready to go outside. Your garden beds are ready to go. And it doesn't feel like this huge, overwhelming task. So it's just breaking those big garden tasks down that seem overwhelming into small, manageable tasks. So you feel like, I can do this. I can have a garden. I can grow maybe not all my own vegetables, but how about some of them? And you can save money at the grocery store because we all know how expensive that is these days.
I have been buying freaking basil in a plastic container for the last month because I haven't gotten my herb garden set up and it's been killing me. I have not had to buy herbs from a plastic container at the grocery store for years. It's killing my soul a little bit. So yeah.
It adds up real fast.
Yeah, this is really kicking my butt. And it's never as good. Yeah. It's never as tasty too. So this is very, very
good. And it goes bad really fast.
Totally.
So you grow your own. And I do have another hustle. I think it's called Herb Garden Prep or Hustle and Bustle Herb Garden, but where you can just get your herbs in there too. Save your money. You just harvest them as you need them. And you're not wasting all that money on herbs that go bad within a couple of days from the grocery store too. So you're not only saving time, but you're saving money and you're being more efficient in your life overall. And you're happier too because of it.
100%. Anything else?
I did put one last section in the book for those weekends when you might say, I've got 30 minutes. I've got 30 minutes on a Saturday, 30 minutes on a Sunday. What can I do to take my garden from ordinary to extraordinary? If you want to, if you have time. And in that chapter, I have things like how to set up a quick 30-minute compost pile. A lot of people get overwhelmed with composting or they think it takes a lot of space. It doesn't. So I've got like a composting tip in there. You can set up a quick pile in about 4 different steps just by collecting materials under your kitchen sink or stashing your kitchen scraps in your freezer till you're ready to do it. Keeping your garden waste in a trash can and then setting up your pile after it's been collecting there for a while. And that way you have free fertilizer for your garden. It'll break down. Now's a great time to start composting in the wintertime. Then you have free fertilizer come spring. So you're not spending as much money again on, you know, the fertilizers at the garden center. So we've got composting in that chapter, setting up drip irrigation, doing a vegetable garden once over where you can really take care of your plants quickly. I do this maybe every couple of weeks. And what that is basically you're pruning, you're watering one section of your garden and you're fertilizing and spraying down your plants for bugs and things like that. So several 30-minute sessions of that really make a humongous difference. And then also a simple project for a quick and easy DIY tree branch trellis, which you can create for free if you've got trees in your yard that you need to trim. So I show you how to do that too. And it's a lot of fun because it looks really organic and kind of funky and it's free with a little bit of twine on the, where you lash it together is really all you have to spend money on. And you feel really good about it that you were able to use resources that might've gotten thrown away.
That's amazing. And the crazy part about this conversation, we've been talking for 45 minutes about all these tips, is this is skimming the surface of what's available in your book. So tell us about not just your book that's coming out, the books that you've already had out, and also your YouTube channel, because I think people might want to go check you out after hearing about this trellised garden. It's pretty epic.
It's a lot of fun. We have a good time with it. Our YouTube channel is Kelly Kim Garden and Home. You can look that up on YouTube. I think we have now maybe 1,600 or 1,700 garden tutorial videos, anywhere from container gardening to herb gardening, creating a kitchen garden, building a raised bed, making your own soil to save money, making your own trellises, just about anything you want to grow in the garden, we have a tutorial on. So definitely go and check that out. We also have a website where we have seed collections available, garden kits and fabric containers, as well as my books. What I found over the years is that if it's simple, you're going to do it. If it's complicated, most likely you're not. So all my seed collection line is organized by growing season. For example, right now, a lot of people in the South are fall gardening. So I have a fall garden seed collection with cool other vegetables. Really takes the guesswork out of it for people who are not sure where to start. Herb garden. We also do a lot of indoor gardening in the winter. So I have a whole indoor garden seed collection and along with 30 seed collections and garden kits. So that's a CallieKimGardenAtHome.com. We just try and be a good resource for gardeners to help people grow their own food and feel good about it and be able to feed their families healthier and tastier food and just have a good time.
And your new book, The 10-Minute Gardener, is coming out. If you're listening to this episode the week it airs, you can pre-order wherever books are sold. It's coming out at the end of December. So tell us more about that book.
Sure. I'm the 10-Minute Gardener. It's 85 time-saving tactics to help you have a life and a garden. It definitely can be done.
I love that. To have a life and a garden.
Exactly. Sometimes people think we can't do both, but we definitely can. And that is coming out at the end of December. You can grab it wherever books are sold. It's also available on our website. You do get a free digital download when you grab it on our website. And very excited for it to launch, to get into people's hands just in time for the new year, for spring garden season. There's lots of actionable, doable tips that you can do today.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for coming on and giving us so many of your tips for free. But there's so much more in the book. Go grab it. We'll have it linked in the show notes. Pre-orders. Pre-orders are so important for book success
they
as well.
Are.
So if you're listening before the book comes out, pre-order. And thank you, Kim. I hope to have you back for maybe a warm climate gardening episode maybe in the future.
Thank you. I'd love to. Thanks for having me on, Maria.
Thank you so much to Callie for being a guest on this episode. Definitely go check out her book. It's called The 10-Minute Gardener. You can pre-order it now if you're listening to this episode the week that it comes out, or if you're listening after it's available, go ahead and grab it. It's available where books are sold. And also go check her out on YouTube. She's Callie Kim, C-A-L-I, like California, Kim. She's got a great YouTube channel, super successful, super informative, and a garden to drool over. You'll probably want to go check it out after we talked about it in today's episode. So thank you, Kim. Thank you, plant friends, for listening. I hope this was helpful. I hope it inspired you. I am certainly inspired. I have set up my entire outdoor raised bed garden in 10-minute spurts. If you want, you can go see an Instagram reel that I made to kind of show what I did. But after I did this interview every day for like 7 to 10 minutes, or I think I had a 3-minute day, but like from 3 to 10 minutes, I basically set up 4 of my garden containers in this kind of method of gardening. And it was so fun and easy and effortless. So anyway, thanks, Kim. I'm practicing what you preach. I hope you do too, plant friends, if it feels like a fit for you, because as always, every episode, every week in this podcast is created to help you keep growing joy. Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free. It's super fun. It takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're going to get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media, on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show. Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy. Take plant friends, there is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However,
That drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.